Hello, 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 and welcome to episode 32 of The Good, The Dan, The Florida Man. With you, as always, your hosts.
Hi, I'm Ryan, I'm The Good, and we've got...
Daniel, a.k.a. The Dan. Also, we have...
Ben, a.k.a. The Florida Man. Was that a seamless intro, Miles?
Yeah, I decided not to, like, derail stuff today. I mean, like,
I saw you want to do it.
Yeah, you know it crossed my mind, and I was like, no, we're going to have a good day.
We're
going to
do it.
All right. Well, if this is your first time joining us, we appreciate you for tuning in. We are three stand-up comedians who decided to start a podcast during the global pandemic shutdown of 2020, and we are 32 weeks strong, baby, talking about... Stuff
that happened in our life before, you know. Remember when we could do life? Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah. Well, being from Florida, that was never really a hitch for me.
No. God, no.
But today we will be talking later about today's episode is Ryan's Ridiculous History about a man named Willem Arondus, who is a gay spy during World War II.
Yes. Yes, he was.
What a wild combination of words in that order.
It's going to get even more wild, the amount of words that we'll throw his way.
Well, before we jump into this episode, we just want to give a big shout out, a big thank you to our VIP patrons, because we have a Patreon now for this podcast, if you did not know. If you want to financially support us and you have the means, please, by all means, hop on over to Patreon and look us up, GDFM Podcast on Patreon. We're going to give a big shout out to our VIP patrons that have joined us so far. Thank you, Alana, Cameron Burton, Emily Presley, Joey Millman, Sandra, James Hudson, Piper Pumpwong. I am sorry if I mispronounced that. Desiree Collins, Christina Odd, Kurt R. Boss, Annie West, Big Mama B, and the Bucherry family.
Yay! We have a whole family supporting us.
Wow. Can I say, if you visually were watching that, you watched me two times confuse which fingers I was looking at on my hand, and so I didn't know why my fingers weren't getting more, and I looked down, and I'm like, my fingers are getting more, but they weren't, so essentially, I am so dumb, I didn't understand that the camera was flipped. Anyway, wow. I'm going to teach
Good job,
you things
Ryan.
Today.
No, we're really proud of you.
Yeah.
Oh, man, if you want to hop on over to Patreon, you want to support us as a VIP patron, it's about $20 a month, and we will... read your name live on a podcast and say thank you so much. If you don't want to spend $20 a month on us, we fully understand. We don't want to spend that much a month on us either. You can join for as little as $3 a month, and that will get you, at the very least, early access to our episodes. They'll come out on Fridays instead of Saturdays for you, as long as we record them in time, because, wow, sometimes we don't.
So even the $3 is, like, questionable. You're like,
if you don't want
to support
us on Patreon,
you might get at least 3 episodes. So.
If you don't want to support us on Patreon, that's fine. Maybe you want to just come see us live at a show. We have some shows coming up. Ryan, where can they see you?
So I'm going to be performing at City Winery in New York City. That's going to be on 11/29, which I'm super stoked about. And then I'm probably going to be hitting up a show with John B. Christ, if you know him. That's probably going to be on the 6th of December. It's sometime in December. I don't know. Just know that it'll be on my website eventually. Ignore me. Yeah. Dan, what about you?
I am doing the Soliloquy Showcase on December 11th in Salt Lake City. I can't remember the venue right now, but if you want to come watch me play a particular character that I think I haven't decided on, you should come and watch me soliloquize the hell out of it. Other than that, just check me out at Open Mics Across Utah. Ben, tell us the full list of shows you have ready.
Jesus. Every time I type this out, I get tired. I am going to be in a lot of places very quickly. So I'm doing like two mini tours. I'm doing a short tour of the Northeast, and then I'm doing a full Southern Coast Florida tour in December. So just stick with me. November 12th to the 14th, I'll be at Anime Eyeway in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. The 15th, Bridgeport, Connecticut Stress Factory. The 16th, New Brunswick, New Jersey Stress Factory. The 17th, Pittman, New Jersey at the Human Village Brewing Co. The early show already sold out. We added a second show, so the 9/15 show still has tickets. The 18th, I'll be in New York City at Caroline's on Broadway. The 20th, I'll be in Milwaukee, Wisconsin at the Potawatomi Casino. 26th, they'll be in Las Vegas, Nevada at the Red Rock Casino. The 30th, they'll be in Little Rock, Arkansas, the Looney Bin. December 2nd, Birmingham, Alabama at the Stardome. December 3rd, Panama City, Florida at the House of Bourbon. I didn't write these down, but I just added two shows in Atlanta, the 4th and the 5th. I'll be at Roll Call Theater December 4th and December 5th. December 9th, they'll be in Orlando, Florida, the Orlando Improv. December 10th, they'll be in Ocala, Florida, the Marion Theater. December 11th, they'll be in Gainesville, Florida, at High Dive. December 12th, they'll be in Tampa, Florida, at Side Splitters. December 14th, they'll be in Naples, Florida, at Off the Hook. December 15th, they'll be in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, at Dania Beach Improv. December 21st, they'll be in San Antonio, Texas, at the Laugh Out Loud Comedy Club. December 22nd, I'll be in Dallas, Texas, at the Addison Improv. And December 23rd, I'll be in Phoenix, Arizona, at Stand Up Live. There are two shows that I'm almost adding. We're just waiting for confirmation. I'm looking at adding a show at the Jacksonville Comedy Zone right now, and also Fire Betty's, I believe, in Tallahassee. We're waiting on confirmation. Those might happen. Those might not. So just stay tuned and sign up. Just go to my website. There's you can just read it at your own pace.
One of those dates is my birthday. I would say, because we're on a podcast and this is public, but. One of those dates.
You don't want to say your birthday out of
pocket. I don't want to say my birthday yet. No. Okay. I'll say it eventually. I'll say it eventually.
But it'll be a good it'll be a grand reveal. If you're part of our VIP Patreons, you get Dan's birthday.
A day before everyone else as well.
Yeah, but just
Oh man. So we like to kind of share a little bit about our personal lives, but not in like a here's my birthday kind of thing. We just like to talk about the weird stuff that happened to us the week leading up to the recording this podcast episode. And Ryan, I know you had some shows, but you also had at the same time tonsillitis.
I had both the flu and tonsillitis. Yeah, man. And it sucked. It sucked so bad.
Yeah,
and
it's tonsillitis.
Yeah, but I didn't remember like how bad tonsillitis hurt, but it just hurts so bad, and like you can't swallow.
I've never had it.
It's the worst, man.
How are you like delivering jokes? I'm trying to picture like deep croaky voice Ryan right now.
You know what? It didn't affect like the overall timbre of my voice, except for like. And by that time, I was finally on antibiotics, but it was like, so I wasn't contagious, but yeah. I was still in just immense amounts of pain, and I was doing like two shows a night, and I was just like,
yikes.
This is painful.
How many shows did you end up doing with tonsillitis?
Five in 3 days.
Wow.
And how many of those shows did you also have the flu for?
Two. Wow. No. Two nights, so three. Yeah. Hey, by the way, sorry. I don't know if you've ever not wanted to be able to like breathe out your throat, but also felt like you were gonna crap your pants, but like just.
What an oddly specific combination of symptoms that, just, no, I have not felt.
Just know that it's the worst. Just know that my like that was, the flu. I was so tired. And plus I traveled with the flu. And of course I had like a mask on and things like that. And I was still on things to like keep it from spreading. But I was just like, man, it sucked. It sucked so bad.
You don't just sleep immediately on planes?
Not anymore. No. I used to honestly. Okay, I was on a plane recently. Here's a funny thing, or a terrifying thing. I was on a plane recently, which is always bad news for anybody that's on a plane with me. But there was this little kid that was just screaming, just being like the worst child ever. And I just mean screaming as in like you can tell intentionally, like just being a horrible child. And I googled how little a dose you could give of melatonin to a kid. Like, do you know, like.
What was it, like 5 milligrams?
0.5 or 1, but they really say just start with the lowest dose and then move your way up. I googled for babies, and then was because I've got okay. Gummies, and yeah. So I was debating giving the baby a gummy.
How much is it?
I was
gummies?
Taken out by
1.5.
1.5?
So that's low enough that I honestly have faith that it wouldn't kill the kid.
Hold on, 1.5 grams?
Yeah, 1.5. No, milligrams.
So I have a bottle of 5 milligram tablets of melatonin. I never really take them because I don't really need them all that often. But sometimes, like with the ADHD medicine, the stimulant will keep me up. And I'm like, well, I'm not sleepy yet and I need to sleep. So I'll take one. And it takes like an hour and a half. And even then, it's just kind of like a very slow descent into sleep. And then I can just wake up in 8 hours and not be groggy or anything. Like, I've heard a lot of weird stories about melatonin.
Full on night. Not like Okay, I won't say nightmares, but I just have the weirdest dreams. And it's always just like, it is genuinely weird. And they are so vivid that you're just like, what is my brain doing? Like,
I've never experienced this.
Yeah, it is a bit wild. I don't know if that's because I don't sleep enough and in general. And then my brain is like, we're working. Okay, let's really give it our all.
And then it just
takes me on a journey.
You go to sleep and your brain is like, I have ideas.
Yeah. I just thought there's a stage production in Dan's head. Just for like, no, let's go.
I guarantee this is like a full stage production. It's like a full Broadway musical at that point. It's chaos everywhere. So yeah, that is kind of wild that it doesn't affect you at all. I'm surprised by that.
I don't want to say it doesn't affect me at all, but it does not affect me the same way that I hear people say it affects them.
Also, it hits me.
Yeah, like, yeah, it doesn't me hit me.
Like, my niece has quickly... had, like... I'm just going to let you ask your question.
20 minutes.
It takes about 20 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. 20 minutes. Well, and I only take 1.5 milligrams because for me, medication, if I take tiny doses of anything, my body's just like, yo, what's up? Like, it's wild. So I take, like, very, like... Like, you know how... like
I would love to drink with you at some point, Ryan. That would be very fun.
Yeah. Same principle. I used to not be Ryan, that
they're like, cheap I beer. Drink one White Claw and then I'm out of it.
Oh my gosh. Half, let's be honest. If it's the grapefruit run, I'm just spritzed. Anyway.
Do you ever wonder why people think you're gay? Or are you just...
spritzed!
Are you just aware?
Yeah, that was more gay than anything I've ever done on the show.
Dan has been gay.
Fun.
Speaking of Dan, I'm not good at transitions. That's fine. One of the reasons, I won't say the whole reason, there's a lot of reasons that we don't always get our podcast out on time, and you're fine with that because I said you are. But that was directed at the listeners. The listeners are fine.
I was like, me?
This past week, Dan, you have been helping your family open up a restaurant in Utah.
I have, yes. My family, for those of you that don't know, has two locations of Pogo's, is what it's called. And it's Flame Grill Chicken and Pizza. Two locations in Zimbabwe.
What a combination.
And they brought over Pogo's to Utah to start off the chain. So we're going to see what we can do over here and see if America likes it.
I'm confused about that combination of foods that you're offering. Flame grilled chicken and pizza.
Yep.
Is the pizza also flame grilled or is it just the other thing on the menu?
It's oven baked, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. I think it's a pretty general pizza oven, actually. But yeah, they use fire. They use heat.
That's good.
Is it also flame grilled chicken and pizza?
It's cooked.
Africa?
Yeah, I don't know if you've had Nando's before, but it's comparable to Nando's, the chicken at least. And then the pizza is like, we've stylized it a bit to be more like, you know, kind of our vibes back home in Zim. So yeah, it's good food. Really good food. The opening was fun. It was chaotic as ever, but the opening weekend went well. So yeah, that was my whole week, basically. We did some great prep.
Awesome.
Did you know that you can't buy chickens wholesale completely defeathered, apparently? Yeah, I had to pick. I have 1.7 million followers on TikTok. I had to pick feathers out of chickens for 3 hours straight. So, yeah, that was... I don't like chicken anymore, is what I'm trying to say. So...
I just love that because I know that there's one or two things that we probably like. We would never flex our like following or clout or anything like that unless it was something ridiculous. And then it's just like, I have 1 point, so I just like it. Because you know that's,
and
I know that's all you
reduced.
Heard in your head. Yeah. As you did it. You know
I'm
what
like,
I mean? Like
fuck
it.
What am I doing here? I hate this.
It's
so
one
cool.
feather for every follower. Just one.
I used to live stream it and I'm like, this one's for you, aka JJ. This
one's you should have live streamed it. People would have watched the heck out of that. Like that's
yeah, anything's content at this point. But yeah, that was my week. Ben, what was your week like?
I mean, I started a sketch comedy group. With some of our friends from TikTok from LA.
Love it.
And we are trying to get our first episode out the week before Thanksgiving. Nice. And our episode, we're going to have 3 sketches in the episode. So in the amount of...
And they sound amazing.
I hope they turn out well. In the span of like 3, maybe 4 weeks, we formed the group, wrote 3 full sketches, and filmed all 3 of them.
Nice.
It's been very busy, but the other thing
is this a TikTok exclusive, or is this going to be like a YouTube thing?
We're filming everything landscape, so it's going to be like 8 or 9 minute long episodes that are probably going to go on Facebook and YouTube, and we'll throw some clips up on TikTok as well for sure. Nice. But it's not filmed for TikTok.
Love it.
The other thing, this is like a weird thing. I don't spend money all that much. You guys may have noticed I don't really spend money unless it's for like the business, and in which case it's business money. But this is also the first time in my life I've really had a disposable income, and I splurged a bit the other day. I have 1 day off in my next trip. It's on November 19th, and I messaged my boy BMO the Prince. So you guys, some of you guys might know him from TikTok. And I asked him if the Celtics were playing that day. He's a big Celtics fan. And they are. They're playing at home on the 19th against the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wow.
So him and I bought tickets row 1 behind the home bench.
Wow, Ben. Wow. You really spent some money.
Do you guys want to guess how much it was?
1,200.
Because it makes me itchy. Are you saying 1,200 each or total?
Each.
That's okay. Close, but still too low.
15?
Yeah.
Ah, wow. Oh my god.
It's about $1,560 per ticket.
You're inspiring me now. Now I'm like, because SZA's coming tomorrow night, and I'm like, do I want to spend $200 on SZA? And you're like, I've spent $1,500 on each ticket. I'm like, I can do $400.
This is what we have disposable incomes for, Dan, so that we can spend it irresponsibly on things that will make us happy in the short term.
Yes.
Go get disposable income. Yeah, you know, my disposable income goes to is $30. It goes towards RuneScape. Like, that's about
fair enough, dude.
I buy a lot of crypto.
The joy too.
Unfortunately,
I buy a lot of crypto.
Yeah, that's my disposable.
Really saving up for those NFTs, man.
You know, I'm getting them monkeys and whales. That's all I've seen.
Well, this was a very long intro, but I hope it was enjoyable for you to listen to as well, listener. With that being said, the intro is over, and we're gonna jump into
Ryan's ridiculous history.
Ridiculous history.
It'd be cool if we could just have a guitar solo for that. Why did Dan just...
I shook my titties.
He did do that. He did exactly that. I was trying to figure out a way to phrase it, and he phrased it for me.
Quick update as well. I lost 20 pounds in 3 weeks, guys.
Congratulations.
Are we cheering, or
do you have an eating disorder?
Like, oh, I definitely don't have an eating disorder. I just... Okay. I got a personal trainer. I train... like a lot. So
okay, I'm
shaking my titties while I have them on the podcast so that we can come back and be like, remember when you had titties? And I'll be like, yeah, I miss them.
I also got a personal trainer, but it's literally for the exact opposite reason. I lost way too much weight and I was like, I need to get.
So
we can complain about our personal trainers together.
Yay! We should do a whole podcast where we bring our personal trainers and then like.
Ahmed trains me. That's great. So we can
all of us have
in what way, Ryan?
About fletching.
I was like, where is this going? I don't want to know anything.
I don't
know. Okay.
I just wanted to make it weird. Yeah, in the art of smithing, like old timey blacksmithing. Clearly not working out.
He trains you in wedding attire.
He trains you in Indian weddings.
Oh, me? He did. But if you watch that, okay. Here's a little fun side note. And I think this is hilarious. Shall wear a kameez to this India wedding. I go, okay, I can definitely do that because I'm trying to be respectful and things like that. Homie gets me there in a Pakistani shall wear kameez to an Indian wedding. If you guys don't know the international relations behind that, just know it's bad. It's so bad. This is the equivalent of me wearing a kepa to, like, I don't know, a fun little neo-Nazi group. Like, it's not good. It's
oh,
a bad.
No.
Yeah, I'm sorry, they don't man. Like each other. And so, but it was one of these things where I was sitting there and I go, and people are kind of looking at us a little funny. And I was like, and then finally, like, his buddy who was the groom was like, yeah, that's like a Pakistani one. He was super chill about it. And I go, what? And he goes, yeah, the relatives are kind of weird about it, but it's whatever. And I was like, what? Like,
who the hell is this white man?
Yeah.
Wearing Pakistani attire.
Yeah, like, not only am I a white guy in some, like, very much traditional garb, but now I'm in the wrong traditional garb, and I knew
you're
it.
Canceled. You're canceled.
I know.
You're done. You're done.
Ahmed also wearing the wrong
yes!
stuff?
Yes, he was. So that was at least kind of, because he was the one who told me to wear it. I'm probably going to his brother's Yemeni wedding on the 29th of December. I'm very excited about that. Very excited.
Wear the right thing for that one.
Not going to be hard. Cause... Hopefully I'll just copy Ahmed and this time he'll know what's up.
Just wear a Technicolor dream coat and call it a day.
Oh my gosh. I'm Joseph. Just, I can rock some musicals. Anyway.
What was this?
Again. Dan, you know exactly what it was.
That was musical jazz hands, Dan.
Ooh, Ryan.
And my brain is all over the place because I just wanted to start talking about Buffalo Wild Wings all of a sudden. I'm going to stop. Dude, they got a new sauce, and it's like the Doritos spicy chili sauce. It's so good,
I
want it really bad right now.
That's your ridiculous history, is like us going through the Buffalo Wild Wings menu.
Dude, you know, honestly, I do it, and also like the history behind the Doritos Locos Taco is both very interesting and very sad.
Wait, really?
Yeah, do it, but I'm not gonna curveballs this time. We're gonna talk about the Doritos Locos Tacos. Now, Doritos is kind of like Disney in the fact they got their name on everything. Later.
Okay.
Okay. But right now, we're getting into Willem Aranduz, who would have loved a Doritos Locos Taco.
What a wild tangent you just brought us. Of the tangents on this show, that has to be top 10 wildest.
I enjoyed it. I am excited that we are going from Doritos to a gay man, right?
Right. Yeah. No, we are. Here's my question for you guys. What do unsuccessful artists have to do with World War II? A lot. And this guy was one of them.
Pretty much the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the whole thing. But this guy was also a failed artist, but he did the good thing with it, which is neat. Welcome back. Let's
Seems like
some...
a gay trait at this point. Yeah.
So his name is Willem Aranduz. He was born in August 22nd, 1894 in the Netherlands as the youngest of six children. Side note, he at 17 in 1911 came out to his parents who were not super supportive. Which, you know, isn't really shocking for the time. Just to remember, like, reminder, he came out before the Titanic sank. He was born in the same year that Coke was first bottled. Like, this is pre-World War One gayness, which I don't, you know, we don't hear a lot about.
We all know, the sinking of the Titanic is the turning point in gay history where it became okay.
Yes, that, and the fact that you could drink cocaine.
Yeah. Right. So if you're out before the Titanic sank, like, God bless you, man. You need all the love and support.
Side note, his parents had six kids, and they were both theater costume designers. And my question is, like, really? Like, you weren't gonna
side eye.
You should have accepted your son immediately.
At this point, I feel like they were more disappointed that he was a failed artist than the fact that he was gay. He probably came out gay, and they were like, yes, an artist, and then he was bad at it, and they were like,
what's the point of you even being gay?
And this, the 1911 Willem Aranduz is the first time anyone has ever whispered the phrase, be gay, do crime.
Oh my God, I love that so much. We got all of that. Like, so he cut off ties with his parents. Ben, you'd love this.
Good for him. Proud of him.
Yep, there it is. Anyway,
a lot of fun. You should try it.
And like, I don't think I'm gonna. Anyway, it's 1911. Like, he's and a lot of times during that like time period, you'd just be pressured into being heterosexual, essentially. But Willem was like, "Nah, I'm very."
I'm sorry.
Gay.
1911 or like 2021?
Well, like the whole.
I got confused there, but for a second, by everything. Are you okay?
I can hear pounding on my door.
It's Willem Arandus.
I don't know which.
On your walls.
Oh, we can hear that too.
I can hear it too.
Willem Arandus has come to take his gay revenge upon
you. Do you have neighbors that are getting busy?
No, this is not.
Like, are you sure?
It sounds like.
No, no, it's if they are, I am impressed by the speed. Like, that is all.
That's.
I'm
well, the man is. Doesn't need a lot.
Yeah, you don't have to. You know what? We don't have to talk about this.
Yeah.
Specifics.
You guys want a tangent into my neighbor's
Absolutely
sex
not.
Lives? I don't know who they are or what they're doing, but I hope they stop.
So is it like it's like a bass or is it someone like knocking?
Feels like it's someone knocking, but it's way too much knocking. So it's like it's not, and I stopped talking, so I know it's not me. And it feels like I don't know. It feels like it's upright, like up left corner. I don't know.
Someone has like shaky leg syndrome.
Yeah, that's kind of what it sounds like.
Like yeah, like that. Like they're just like bouncing.
It's also 7:58, so it's not like.
That's when legs are the most awake.
Ah.
Yeah.
Also, it is.
It might just be a little shaky leg.
It sounds like shaky leg, and I'm hoping
that is a powerfully shaky leg.
I hope that they stop having legs, to be honest.
Big thighs save lives.
Crazy.
Thick lives ruin podcasts.
Anyway, speaking of gay men,
get that on a shirt. Put that on a shirt. Merch.
He would have been pressured into like being like straight, but he wasn't. He was like, no, I'm super out, and so he was super out. He didn't really have a lot
good for him.
He was a painter, and he didn't really have a lot of success. He did paint Rotterdam Hall at one point, and illustrated some poetry books, finding only minimal success, and he lived very poor. So artist. In 1935, he gave up pursuing mostly visual arts and began writing, finding most of his success in 1939 with a biography on Mathis Maris called The Tragedy of the Dream. Essentially, he wrote a biography on another artist that wasn't particularly successful, and that did okay. So he can only tell the stories of failed artists.
Wow. Yeah. What a gay icon.
Right.
He chose...
You may have never heard of me, but you know who you also have never heard of? This
Mathis
guy.
Maris. Yeah. So just to also put it in perspective, he started finding success like with his writing in 1939. For those of you that don't know, it's a bad year to be finding success in Europe. There was another guy finding a lot of success who was also a failed artist.
I was going to say, was like Hitler just motivated by seeing like Willem's success?
Oh,
biography.
He
saw the biography and he was like, you know what? I'm going to kill the gays too. He was just done after that point. He was like,
no.
Damn, Willem.
Dang it, Willem. I can't have this
kind
of competition.
So he's 48. If I did my math right, he's 48 at this point?
Yes, yeah. Oh, well.
Sad.
1894. So, 45. Yeah, he's 45.
This was also the days where, like, success was like, I have three beans and a sheep.
And still. A sheep!
So maybe... And if you plant one of these beans, a giant beanstalk will form, and there will be a gay giant atop it.
Do you like my, like, perspective on the 1930s? I'm like, they had, like, beans and sheep, right? Like, that's all that happened.
Yeah. I'll trade you a firm handshake for that jalopy.
One firm handshake. Da, 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 da.
Charlie Chaplin's.
But yeah, put it in perspective. He had about a year of good things. Not the Polish were having a bad year, but the Netherlands were fine in 1939. But on May 10th, 1940, the Netherlands was invaded by Nazi Germany, and they were swiftly conquered. It took them from May 10th to May 15th to conquer the whole of the Netherlands, which just sucks. That had to be a bad week.
It took 5 days.
A business week.
Wow.
Like, that's what it took them.
Were delivering swift victories faster than Amazon was delivering packages.
Yeah, right. They Jimmy John's that takeover. They were just like, freaky
Jimmy
fast.
John's, your Netherlands is ours now. Wow, that was freaky fast.
That was freaky fast. Anyway, very shortly after, Willem joined the Resistance and used his writing skills to pen subversive articles and pamphlets like Branderous Brief and Diverge Kunistar. I don't know what any of those means. But then he merged with something called the DVK, which is the Diverge Kunistar, the second one I mentioned. He met Gerrit van der Veen, who specialized in forging identity cards for Jews in the Netherlands. Because the Nazis came in and they had a soft, like, I think they called it the velvet glove approach, where they were like, as long as you work with us, we won't beat the snot out of you. And the Netherlands was like, cool. And then they were like, but we're also taking all your Jews. And the Netherlands was like, well, hold on. I don't know if you can take all of them.
This guy was just like, what Jewish people? I don't see any here. And they're all just have fake IDs that he very clearly made like 10 minutes ago. Yeah, he's like, look, what? This guy's name is Greg. Can't get any less Jewish than that in the Netherlands in 1939.
Well, and also what makes it the worst is like, he apparently still wasn't that good of an artist, and you'll see why. Willem was worked in creative forging documents with a lesbian compatriot, Frida Belafonte, which I love that it's just like, it's just an entirely gay unit. Yep. Just the image of
the
just
queers,
like...
The queers were doing it right. They were just like, forge IDs, do crime. Be gay, do crime.
Be gay, do crime. Like that.
I just love how Ryan used the phrase, a gay unit.
Well, because can you imagine just like, I would absolutely pay to see like, essentially like the Ocean's 11 version, but you know what, they keep remaking things in the dumbest ways. Can you imagine, though, if they remade just an entirely gay Ocean's 11? It would be way amazing and pretty hilarious, I have a feeling. Yeah. I would love to see gay Matthew... what's his name?
It's more likely than you think. It's more
gay
likely
Matt Damon with gay Ben Affleck or Brad Pitt with I don't know.
You really would like to see gay Matt Damon with gay Ben Affleck.
It came out so wrong, but just imagine. Yeah. I know that it would be funny.
But it came out so right, didn't it?
Because it sounds like a parody. You know what I mean? And I know that the parody would be funny.
I don't think Ryan has caught on to anything that I'm insinuating.
You're definitely insinuating that I like Rooster.
You just want to see... Oh. I was just insinuating that you wanted to watch Matt Damon and Ben Affleck together.
I almost said on screen, like that's better. It's not, Ryan. I just am too innocent. I'm too innocent. Anyway, Willem was trying to create forged documents. How these forgeries were less successful because the Netherlands Municipal Office of Population Registration. The Netherlands literally had an office that would just register all the people, and it would also like tell their race and things like that. So this became a problem for Jewish people who were like, so they could just easily fact check it and be like, no, you're not registered as that. You're not Gary. You're Elmer. And then Elmer's.
We have to burn down the office.
You're ahead of the curve.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm always ahead of the curve when it comes to burning stuff
gay,
down,
do crime.
Ooh. Yeah, they decided they had to destroy the office. So on March 27th, 1943, Willem and his accomplices, dressed as police officers, approached the security guards of the building.
Because their wardrobes were big.
Oh. His parents had to be so proud. Think about it. Like, they were theater designers, and now it's all coming together.
Yes, it's all coming together. They're serving looks.
He's putting together
we're
the
serving
police
realness,
uniform.
Baby. They walk in.
He's putting together the police uniform. They're like, where did you learn how to do this? And he's like, I don't talk to them anymore.
I don't talk to them. Who? And he takes off sunglasses. He was inside. The straights. Like,
I don't talk to the hets like that. Thank you.
Yeah. Snaps, continue sewing.
Well, it has to be a German accent.
Netherlands, so yeah. He's
Dutch. He was in the Netherlands.
Sorry, yeah. Netherlands.
He was like heteronormative. How about heteronormal? Like just, Anyway.
I love it.
So what they did is they were dressed as as police officers, and they go up to the security guards, and ironically, they tell them, hey, we need to search this building for explosives. They had brought explosives. So technically,
they're going
were
to the
correct.
Exact places that they needed to go. They're like,
yeah.
We need to check under this particular pillar.
And then they put bombs. So as they're getting there, they had two doctors who were with them, or like medical students, and they took, it's called benzene. Sorry, that's the explosive. Let's see, what are these? They used a phenobarbitual. Phenobarbitual.
Yeah.
Barbitol.
We used to take
there we go.
It. Yeah.
And they used
barbitual?
Barbitual? Yeah.
That's what the gay name is.
Barbitual,
baby.
Barbitol. But anyway, they used
the shaving cream is Barbasol, so.
Yeah, that's it. Anyway, they used it to knock out the guards, so they just, like, real quick, like, sneaky injected them, and they were like, no. And apparently there was a zoo across the street, so they took him to the zoo across the street and locked him in the zoo. Not with the animals, they just locked him in the zoo. But I also think that that's really funny. Can you imagine waking up and just being like, zoo time?
The crimes you just get away with in the 1940s.
Yeah.
We're gonna walk into this this municipal building dressed as police officers with explosives. We're gonna knock out just the clerks, not even like guards.
They were security guards. They were.
Oh, yeah. Okay, we're gonna knock out the security guards with an injection to the neck, and then in broad daylight, carry their bodies across the street. Across the street from the municipal building was the zoo.
Yeah,
and this lock them in zoo. Nobody was at the zoo to see this happen.
Well, forgive my language, but this is the most shitty Ocean's 11 I've ever heard of. Like, it's like,
this is literally Mission Impossible.
This is Mission Very Probable. Like, this is
like, it's like,
okay, it was nighttime, so there weren't like people. But granted, I bet there were people walking around.
Why was the municipal building open? And the zoo open at
it's
nighttime.
It's the 1930s.
You know what? They 40s. Had other things on their mind.
Oh, sorry, 40s.
Yeah, yeah. It's 1943. They probably had other things on their minds, like the Nazis, other than locking up the zoo. Yeah.
I mean. Look, man, this is a very studious municipal building that's based with a registry. If they're open 24/7, they're like, look, just in case someone gets born at midnight 03, we have to be here to write their name in the book.
There it is. Yeah.
The municipal what are you doing with those population. Men? Are you taking them into the zoo? Yes. What are you going to do with them?
Carry on.
I guess they're going to have a lovely time. Okay.
Do you want help?
I'd like to go to the zoo.
I'd love to go to the zoo. Anyway, so they inject them. Once inside the building, the resistance members pulled open all the drawers, and they piled all the documents onto the floor, and they doused them all with benzene, which is like a gasoline-style, like, it's a flam... It's a... accelerant. There we go. Then they set it off
using... It's a flamboyant.
A flamboyant. Oh!
No, that's what you call a bunch of gays doing crime. A flamboyant.
I thought that's what you call a bunch of gays fishing.
A flamboyant. That's what the movie should be called. I mean, quite literally. If they literally, make an Ocean's 11 with just gay people, it should be called The Flamboyant.
I quite literally think a flock of flamingos. Yeah, a flock of flamingos is called a flamboyant.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure too. Yeah.
Which checks.
It does.
That tracks.
That does track.
As gays are flamingos, yes.
They set the building on fire using a series of timed explosions. They'd received the explosion or the explosives from resistance operatives, and apparently stolen it from a munition store at the Narden Forest. So they were just like, they just snuck into a fortress and stole timed explosives, which is apparently a whole nother story. Yeah.
At this point, I'm just like,
who put this idea together? And why did nobody say, that's probably not going to work?
Well, we're going to get there. unfortunately, so they set off the explosions and they set the building ablaze. The fire department, which had been tipped off about the assault, which is a terrible idea. Don't let them know. But they tipped off the fire department. And when the fire department arrived, because they were actually, they didn't like the Nazis, they just stood there and watched it burn like a hilarious Christmas carol.
Like they... Yo, that's literally the end of How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Right.
The firefighters return, and instead of just doing anything about it, they just go, Fa-zu-dore, Fa-zu-dore, burn this building to the ground.
That's pretty much what happened. So they watched it, and when they ultimately did finally commit action, because the Nazis were showing up and they were like, we better act like we're doing this, they used so much water. They intentionally gave it too much water to cause water damage to the already damaged records. They were just like, nope, give it all. So they essentially flooded a building that didn't need to be flooded anymore. The overall damage was 800,000 ID cards destroyed, which sounds like a lot, but it's only about 15%, which is unfortunate, because that's a very small number when thinking about the overall.
I'm confused. You said 800,000?
Mm-hmm.
And that's only 15% of this town or of the Netherlands?
The Netherlands.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, that's... Oh, so this was like the National Registry building.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I was thinking this was just the town.
No. No, this is the office that holds.
The gays
They came to play.
Yeah, the gays don't really do things half-assed, do they?
No, we don't.
Mm, they full-ass everything. No,
They're like, why would we bomb the town square when we could just bomb the whole thing? And then they like went into the, like, literally just to go bomb a literal registry, a national registry. It's just crazy.
But that's still 800,000.
Yeah. Yeah. And they also destroyed 800,000. They stole 600 blank cards so they could make better forgeries. And then they also stole 50,000 of what's called guilders, which was dollars. So they just like stole 50 grand on the way out. And we're like, we're getting paid for this. Yeah.
Ugh. The things that, you know, unsuccessful artists are motivated to do impresses me every day. Also disgusts me in some situations. But yeah, it's just wild.
I mean, you take someone who has nothing to lose, and you go, hey, do you want to save a country?
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, I've got nothing better to do.
I mean, it's Tuesday. I don't really have anything going on.
I was going to work on this one piece, but honestly, I've been at it for about 12 years now, so yeah. I guess one more day won't hurt.
Do you think you're brave enough to bomb a registry? Well, I have had sex with men, so yeah, probably.
I've bombed on stage before. What's the worst that can happen at this registry?
My whole art show bombed, darling. Of course I'm going to bomb a registry.
Somebody walked up to him and they were like, do you want to help us destroy a registry and save hundreds of thousands of lives? And he was like, can costumes be involved?
Yeah, are there?
Will I get 50 grand on the way out?
I have three stipulations. I want costumes to be involved. I want to go to the zoo, and I want 50 grand, baby. And they were like, absolutely.
They were like, you're never going to
believe
this.
You'll never this.
Believe this. Me and Ben, same page. Oh my gosh. So that did happen, unfortunately. So the building was blown up. No one was caught the night of the attack, however, due to an unknown betrayer that we still do not know to this day. Arondus was arrested on April 1st, 1943. Arondus refused to give up the rest of his team because, of course, he did, because he's stone cold. But they found his notebook. And as a result of that, the majority of the group was arrested.
Shame.
On the 18th of June 1943, Arondus was tried and sentenced to death along with 13 other men who participated. Two of the group received clemency, but all the others were set to be executed on July 1st, 1943. Arondus led guilty.
Two of the group were granted clemency, but we still don't know who the betrayers were?
Okay, yeah. I know that sounds obvious.
I feel like we found them.
Well, this is why they were granted clemency. Arondus pled guilty and took the full blame, which may be why two young doctors were spared from execution and given custodial sentences instead. Essentially, the custodial sentences for them were they had to serve the Nazis then.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, by the way, before his execution, Arondus made a point of ensuring the public would be aware that he and two other men in the group, Baker and Brouwer, were gay, asking a friend or a lawyer to tell him, to tell as his final words that homosexuals can be brave. His actual final words, I believe, were,
I'm gay and I did it.
I hope so. let me make sure, because his last words are just so cool.
He's about to be like hung, and he's like, "Do poppers."
I think he was. By the way, I think they were shot. I think they were shot execution style. Oh, okay. And his final words were, "Tell the people that homosexuals are not by definition weak."
Yeah.
That's so stone cold. That's crazy.
He was, I mean, that's
I like that
wrote,
there was still, like, a question probably in mind again. Like, the public didn't know that they were, like, they bombed the National Registry. Like, yeah, I don't know who's doubting at that point. It's like, I don't think gay people are brave. No. To bomb a registry?
No, but it was like they bombed the registry, and people were like, the straights are at it again. But then someone was like, but did you see their costumes?
Yeah.
the police outfits are like have fur trim and everything. It's like a Gucci trim.
It just looks like the Met Gala.
They're all walking to the zoo and into the National Registry.
They're skipping into they're the like, registry.
They're like, bomb. How did you find us? How did you cops find us? You're a row of gay people in costumes. Like,
I know what they wrote down as his last sentence was, let the people know that homosexuals, by definition, are not weak. But what he probably said was, I'm gay and I'm strong. And people were like, we can fix that. We can write that better.
We can try something different. Yeah.
Let's
we
make don't this a little it. More inspirational, you know.
Yeah. In 1984, he was awarded the Resistance Memorial Cross. He was... And further, on the 19th of June, 1986, Yad Vashem, which is Israel's official memorial to the victims of the Holocaust, recognized Arandus as righteous among nations for the things that he was trying to do. So, just awesome. A very...
I would like to start a petition to update that award to be gay and righteous.
I love how that makes it from righteous to righteous! You know what I mean?
Or a petition to add, like, five I's. In the word righteous. Not like that. More like righteous. Exactly.
Righteous. Sorry. You're carried away.
That's how he wanted to be remembered.
Yeah.
So,
and it's very gay to just be noble. Like, I'm gay. Kill me.
And then he strutted out of there. Just unafraid.
I'm gay and I'm brave.
Shoot me, coward.
Yeah, you can't
shoot
handle
me,
this.
Straighty.
I've had men shoot me before.
This will not be the first, but it will be the last load that I take. Like this.
Do you think they went with gun instead of rope because they were just worried they were gonna activate something in him? And they were like,
oh no.
Is he enjoying this? Shoot him! Shoot him!
Shoot him for the love of God!
Fun.
Oh, what a man! What a man! What a man!
Yeah, love it. That was Willem Arandus, a stone cold resistance fighter.
Baddie. We love it. Say it. Yeah. Say it. Willem Arandus, a stone cold baddie. Say it.
Stone cold
yes.
baddie.
Yes. Miss Baddie. We love it.
Oh, well, that takes us out of Ryan's ridiculous history and brings us into our final segment of the day, audience submissions. Yeah, you have questions, we have answers. Some of them may displease you, and those will probably come from me. Let's jump into it. What? Our first one comes from Des H. What is an unimportant seeming topic that you have really strong opinion on?
So many, all the time.
Tacos.
Okay, what's so strong about your opinion on tacos?
Listen, if I walk into your place of business and I can't order just a chicken taco, You're wrong and I hate you and you should close down. If you were a taco shop, that's my I hate hipster taco shops.
Fair.
Chronic tacos. F chronic taco.
Here's the deal. Listen, I walked into a taco shop in Orlando, Florida one time and they had like a special taco of the day or whatever and it was a rib taco. Mm. However... the bones were still in it, Ryan.
No.
Oh, what?
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Well, are you supposed to go like...
I guess so, but I was like, why are you... You're just incorrect. There was no, like, street taco on the menu. You couldn't just order, like, a chicken taco or, like, a beef... There was nothing
I hate
that.
I hate when they people have, like, taco in their name, but they're, like, a burrito place. And you're like, what is going on?
It wasn't burritos. It was tacos, but none of them were just, like, regular
just
tacos.
Like a good taco.
They had, like, a grilled cheese taco, which I ordered, but it was just a block of cheese that they put on a grill.
No.
And then that on a tortilla.
Yucky.
Dude, I'll tell you this though, that grilled cheese thing reminded me, and I'd still call it a melt. I wouldn't consider it a grilled cheese, but that's my opinion on it. But, dude, okay. I had a buffalo chicken grilled cheese recently, and it was one of the most fire things I've ever put in my mouth. It was so good. It was
because you're white and you don't like spicy things.
It's in Burbank.
That was fire.
Yeah, oh, it's so good. Anyway, but yeah, no, Ben, you're right. They're wrong.
I was mad.
Can I recommend something real quick? Because I just had this put in my mind. Can we do a podcast where we do Hot Ones' whole row of spicy wings?
Absolutely.
Can we do that?
We would have to get permission from Hot Ones.
Do we?
Like, we would have to, because that's their thing.
Really? I thought you could just do it as a challenge.
Yeah, you can just do it as a wing challenge.
Okay, well, in that case, we would just have to give all of the, you know, credit to
Hot Ones.
We'd be like, this is their thing.
This,
because I know this guy, like, the guy who started it, he'll just go on and people will send him, like, videos of people doing his thing.
Yeah.
Basically just ripping him off, and he'll just roast
him. I'm perfectly fine giving him, like, 10 minutes of praise and then getting into the challenge. Yeah. So.
I just want to do a challenge with buddies where it involves food.
That sounds great.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Do you guys have strong opinions on things that don't seem important?
World War One.
What? I feel like there's probably things that are less important.
I mean, yeah.
I feel like you picked a fairly important, a fairly significant
thing.
You,
but no one thinks it's important. It drives me crazy.
Oh, you know what drives me crazy? Americans don't eat chicken with bones in it. Sorry, this is just me because I have been deboning chicken or defeathering chicken all week, I guess. But, like, at least in Utah,
wings.
Yeah, I know, but unanimously. Okay, this is excluding the South. The South lives for bone and chicken. The South,
you're coming at my culture. Right? Also,
The South, as far as I know, loves bone and chicken. But anywhere on the West Coast, at least, for the majority of, like, people, I don't know about, like, I've honestly don't have a lot of experience with California, to be honest with you, but most of the other states that I've been to, people prefer, like, nuggets and, like, deboned chicken. And I've interviewed people about it, and they say that it's mainly because they don't want to think about the chicken. Sorry, this is how unimportant it is, but it's like, it's something that just like burned that's into my brain.
Wild.
They just don't want to feel as like barbaric for eating meat off of a bone. And it's like, bitch, you're eating the meat already. You might as like do it with flavor. Get some flavor going. Most of the flavor's in the bone. Like, I don't know.
For me, it's about efficiency. Also, here's a hill I'll definitely die on. Chicken and waffles needs to be exclusively with boneless chicken. That makes it so much easier.
You're able to cut it over. I agree in that regard. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You do need to have chicken.
And every time I get served bone in chicken and waffles, I'm like, why you? I now it's just separate.
That just feels like a bit of a mess. A sugary mess.
I order boneless wings sometimes, but that's just because I have like a sensory thing. I just don't like my hands being sticky. I don't like stuff being on my hands.
And I can respect that. But when people start telling me that they like don't want to eat off the bone because they're scared that it's like, they just don't like the feeling. It feels too barbaric. And it's like, what?
Some people are stupid.
Yeah.
Some? The majority.
Anyway.
Then we got another one from Thora S. Hey guys, just want to say I love your podcast.
Thanks.
It helped me through a very dark time in my graduation. Very dark time and my graduation, not in my graduation. Sorry, I was like, that's a very quick period of time, I'd assume. Found Ben's sketches shortly after the U.S. election, so I want to thank him specifically for the fun times and the half my motivation to learn English. My exam wouldn't have been the same without you. Since you guys started the podcast, I also discovered Ryan and Dan's content. I love that, too. I have to admit, since I am German, the podcast has been a load of culture shock and some things I just don't know what you were talking about. I enjoy the ridiculous history a lot. It's probably the thing that I already know the most about. I wonder if you know about Willem. Yeah. The episode about the 7 serial killers was very interesting and disturbing. Thanks for making me just a little uncomfortable for over an hour. I still had fun, I guess. I do have a question for Ryan, though, or I wanted to defend him. Grossberg does translate to great, not disgusting, castle. So that's a fabulous name. Ah, thank you.
Oh.
I'll take it.
That's interesting.
Nice.
You learned something about yourself today, Ryan.
I did. I'm probably going to keep it that way in the stand-up, though. because the English... Because, yeah, I was actually told by... You know what's funny? I have a German friend who literally told me that like a week ago that she was like, no, it's not. It means like, she said it was like, Berg means mountain, not a city, but it's because so many mountain, like cities were on mountains and castles and things like that. Yeah. But that's why it's Berg that way. But I guess you already knew that I wanted to rub it in for Ben. What? Anyway, I kind of hope you read that on the podcast so you actually have to pronounce my last name. We only give first letters.
They signed it.
Go ahead. I will. Good luck. Thank you for reading. Sorry it's so long. I just found another if you found any grammar mistakes, congratulations. You can keep them. Keep being awesome, and thank you again for everything you do. Love, Thora Schreifel.
Yes. I was going to say a shiffle.
Shiffle. Like probably shifle. Shifle sounds more like, yeah.
I can only think of like three different ways to pronounce it. There's shifle, shiffle, and skiffle.
Skiffle!
Or skyfle. Like if we go with the hard CH, it could be skyfle.
Yeah. Skyfle.
Let the skyfle. I didn't see any grammar mistakes. But that's also because we actually have somebody that goes through our questions now and fixes grammar mistakes so they're easier to read.
Yeah, we have that person. Next person, speaking of persons, Kelly B. Hey guys, hope you're doing well. Here's a fun question for you. What's the first video that pops up on your For You page that isn't from someone you follow? I did this last night with friends, and mine was scary. Think of the girl from The Ring, but with pole dancing. Enjoy the rest of your day. Okay, let's do this.
Yeah, pull it out.
Whip it out.
Whip it out, fellas.
Oh, I quote Ben.
All right, so they're following them.
I got miscellaneous mashups.
Not counting sponsored ads.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, okay, so I got...
And yours sounds like a crime.
That's not mine.
That's mine.
Sounds like a crime.
I muted mine. So I have jz13yahoo.com is the first person. And it looks like it's just like a ripped sketch from YouTube.
Okay. Mine is Thrill Hill 58 and it... Oh, wait. No, I lost it. It was someone who saw a puppy. Let's just see what else there is.
Gorgeous, gorgeous girls love sushi. Sushi girls are the girls with the tightest coochies. I love you. You love me. You love sushi and Lady Gaga.
Yeah, I hate that.
Hey, what is going on? Did you guys know that I was gay?
Mine is this. It's a Vine and Wonderful World mashup. Like that's love it. That's sound. Literally just that's audio. Sound.
I do love that audio. Love it.
Thanks for that one, Kelly.
Cool.
Moving on,
thank
we
you,
have
Kelly.
One from Sage A. Hello, Ben, Dan, and Ryan. I love listening to your podcast in the background while I'm doing whatever. It keeps my 4-year-old busy so I can get things done. Today I was playing the episode with the scavenger hunt, and, well, I had to replay part of it because my 4-year-old is hilarious. He ran up to me with my iPad and asked if Ryan needed help figuring out pants since he never wears them.
I love that.
Hope you guys can enjoy this little incident with my son. Have a great day. This is the second time a toddler has roasted you on the podcast.
Yeah. That's true. That's actually my demographic for getting roasted.
The first one, I think it was a 5-year-old girl that said you look like you would cry if you were given the wrong flavor of ice cream.
That was what happened.
And this one is a 4-year-old that's like, he's a little slow, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, she's not wrong, but like hurtful. Not she. My bad. Anyway, next name. We got Kelsey M. Hello, my name is Kelsey Max. Nice last name. I am from Martin, Tennessee. I just want to say thank you for always making me smile while I'm at work. I started listening to your podcast and listening to every day I'm at work. Aww. I have two questions. The first one is, Ryan, how do I get my college to book you? The second question is, how is Ryan single? Oh, I got the answer to that one.
He's gay.
So do I.
Right now. and I don't trust Ben's. I don't understand because he is totally the type for lots of people I know. Here's the thing. Couple things. First off, if you want your college to book me, you can go check out Neon Entertainment. That's my college agency. They're great. And second is, how is Ryan single? I make terrible choices. Like Ben has seen an entire hour of me making bad decisions about dating.
A whole hour?
That's my second special.
Did you? Okay. Yeah. Oh yes. Okay.
Real quick, I would like to say that if you do want your college to book anybody on the podcast or the podcast itself, we as a podcast have performed at a college already, University of Minnesota Morris.
It was awesome.
If you go to your activities office, campus activities is the name of the office usually, you can go up to the campus activities director and request us You can have them email the podcast directly. podcast@gdfmpodcast.com, and we'll take it and deal with it. If you want Ryan, you email his agency because he has a college agency. If you want me, you'll just email me directly. It's on my website. If you want Dan, you can go on Snapchat. It's Dan_YOLO_love and just have campus activities message him directly on Snapchat.
Sorry, I don't know why I thought that was so funny, but like doing business through Snapchat would be fantastic. Oh, good. Yeah.
You can do it, Dan.
I can do it.
No one can stop at you.
Yeah, I'm gonna do it. It's my business hub from now on. Okay. But yes, if you want to book anyone, there's all the info. Joy M says, "Hey guys, I love watching your podcast. It's always the highlight of my week. I was talking to my friends about the most embarrassing ways we were woken up. What's yours?" Mine was when I was in seventh grade. I had recently found out about sex, and I had a major crush on this guy in my science class. I had stayed home from school that day, so my grandmother came over to keep an eye on me. Well, my recent discovery made its way into a dream involving my crush. My grandmother shook me awake, asking why I was moaning my friend's name. I lied and said he tricked me into going on a really scary ride at Six Flags. I don't think she believed me, but she didn't question it, and it's never been brought back up.
Oh my gosh.
That is hilarious.
I love that so much.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us, because yeah, that is super funny. But also, like, good for you. Seventh grade, crushing it. Absolutely.
Love it.
Does he know? Or she, I guess.
Yeah.
They specify?
I don't, I think they said a he.
Yeah, this guy, yeah.
Yeah.
Does he know? I'm curious whether or not
he listen to the podcast?
Well.
Is he a fan?
Is he a fan?
Yeah, but yeah, what are most embarrassing ways you've ever been woken up? That is an interesting one. I don't know if I...
So many! So many, all the time! This is my life! It's just a problem!
We know you have sleeping problems, Ryan. That's
yeah,
okay.
I mean, just listen to any other parts of the podcast. I mean, I woke up one time running through my house, and I ran into a door. That's how I woke up, and my arm was bleeding because I ran into the part of the door that's where the metal part. I just went, yeah, and so I skewered myself in a morning. It was bad.
I actually have one, too. For those of you that don't know, I can sometimes sleep shout, and so...
What's going on with this podcast?
when I was in the MTC, the Missionary Training Center, it's where they train you to be a missionary. They put you in these rooms with five other people, and you're on bunk beds that are really rickety and old. And I was having a dream that I was fighting over a blanket with someone, and I apparently like kicked and screamed, "No!" And my whole bunk bed just went. I pretended to be asleep, and all five other guys, we've only been together for a day, were like, "Did he just like scream no?" And yeah, it was just never addressed. But yeah, that's my most awkward like wake up, I guess.
I probably have some in the military. I can't think of anything specifically right now. I do know one time when I was younger, my family was staying in a hotel. I think we were on the road at like one of my brother's like baseball tournament, so we had to stay in a hotel. And my dad was snoring so loudly, I tried to find a place that I could sleep where it didn't bother me. And the only place that I could find was underneath the pull-out couch bed in the hotel. But I didn't tell anybody that I was going down there because everyone else was already asleep, and I didn't think anything of it. So I was just asleep underneath the pull-out couch bed, and my parents lost their mind. They thought I had, like, escaped.
Yeah.
Or, like, somebody had stolen me.
If you were my child, though, too, Ben, I would be concerned about that. He's escaped!
Yeah, and then so just eventually I crawled out like, "Hey, what are you guys yelling about?"
Oh my god.
Really oblivious.
Like a gremlin.
What is going on?
Like a little golem.
Love it.
I crawled out. I was like, "Did I miss breakfast?
Did I do that?"
Oh, this is a fun one. Next question.
All right.
This is from Jessica E.
Yep.
Says, silly question. Who would win in a fight, a moose or a cassowary?
Great question.
I think still a moose, right?
I gotta go moose.
I gotta go moose too. Okay.
I think it's a moose, yeah. Just because I think they are substantially bigger, right?
Than they are. Cassowary.
Oh, they get to be like 9 feet tall.
Yeah, and they have big ass feet that are just like.
Yeah. I think the cassowary's got better attack, like cutting abilities. Yeah. But I'm gonna go with the moose. I think it can tank more hits and then deal more damage, more crushing damage.
I mean, the cassowary is basically like a baby velociraptor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like they have the big toe claw.
If you told me like five cassowaries versus a moose.
Right.
If you told me like five of them against a moose, I'd be like, okay, I'd probably give it to the cassowaries. But because it's just a moose and a cassowary, I'll give it to the moose.
1v1. Well, okay.
Moose has a 1v1.
There's only one way to do it. We're going to have to set this
up.
We're gonna.
I think there's probably more.
Hey,
than one
with your disposable income, Ben, can you buy a moose for us?
Yeah, would you mind getting the moose? We'll go find the cassowary.
You have that disposable income of yours.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Yeah. You guys go get a cassowary. I'd like to see that.
That would actually be a very fun trip. Like
Ryan and Dan podcast on an adventure.
The podcast goes to search for a cassowary.
and then Ben just comes in at the end of it, just riding a moose. Just like,
found one.
I got one.
I love it.
All right, our next question is from Aaron J. Hey, guys, Aaron from Caldwell, Idaho. I just wanted to drop in and say I love the podcast. Well, thank you. I stumbled upon it a few weeks ago and binge listening to it while blasting headstones at work. What?
Headstones?
He works in a cemetery.
Oh! Gravestones.
That's my guess.
That's my guess.
Yeah, that
sounds
sorry,
really funny. It sounds like, can you imagine if he did demolitions of headstones? I think that would be amazing. I'm getting married on 10/30/21. Hey, that's already happened.
Oh,
I'm a little nervous, but also very excited. Looking forward to more episodes. Congratulations on
Congrats.
Love.
Congrats.
Yes. Aaron J. And mysterious counterpart that was not brought up at all during this message.
Yeah. And other human.
It's a gravestone. He's going to be blasting a gravestone tonight, too.
Oh, my God. final question.
Final question is from Ben G. Benji, hey, GDFM podcast, just finished listening to episode 18. I'm a little behind, I know. In that episode, Dan's LGBTQ was about what superheroes would you want to be in the LGBTQ community. Recently, the newest version of Superman in the comics came out as bi. There's been a lot of controversy in the community about it. Wanted to hear your thoughts on the subject. Thank you. Love your stuff. Keep up the good work.
He's also a super powerful space alien.
Yeah.
So who really cares who he's smashing?
I have not heard about this controversy. I am curious what the controversy is. I imagine that it's just like toxic nerd fandoms being like, Superman is supposed to be a man. And like, I can imagine that
it's
being.
It's Superman, not Super Dan.
You know what, though? I don't think that's very funny. I will say this, though. Personally, like when it comes to this stuff, I think create new characters. I don't understand why we change, like why we retcon characters. I don't think that makes any sense. Like, for instance, if you look at like a good example of diversity would be like Miles Morales, who is an original Spider-Man who just happens to be both black and Hispanic. And that's part of who he is as a person, but has always been as a person. And he's a great new character and he's his own person instead of something like, let's just make Peter Parker gay. Why? That doesn't solve anything. That didn't do anything. Versus you could have amazing new superheroes, and it really just feels like people are lazy, and that's why we get this version. It's inclusive because they're lazy, and that's stupid.
There's that, sure, but there's also the great quote by Stan Lee in response to someone asking him who would win in a race between, you know, whoever, like these two characters, or who would win in a fight between the Hulk and whatever. Stan Lee responded, who do you want to win? It depends on who's writing that comic.
Yeah.
Like, these are characters, but they're nothing more than just, like, fun and enjoyable things. You can take this character and make the story how you want it to be. That's why there's a million different versions of Batman who's still Bruce Wayne, because it doesn't matter who this character is or who they've always been. The character exists, and you can do whatever with that character you want. It's up for interpretation. Write your own story.
Yeah, I agree.
There is no
canon.
I agree with both of you. I think that we just need... Well, this is my other thing, though. I think it is kind of fun that an iconic superhero like Superman was made by. Like, it's like, oh, that is fun. At the same time, I agree with Ryan in saying, is there, like, a better way to integrate that type of narrative into superhero storytelling, right? Is this, like, one of my favorites is Wiccan, who's gay in the Marvel comics. That's Scarlet Witch's son. And they are going to, apparently, the Marvel Cinematic Universe is going to adapt it. Brian Tyree Henry in The Eternals was really fun. And it caused all that controversy, like the gay kiss. But that's the thing, is it was an original character that had been adapted. I know that he maybe wasn't gay in the comics, from what I understand. But, like, there's ways to do it in a way that, like, allows you to be like, oh, yeah. In the same way that Willem, I don't know the last name.
Arondus.
Arondus. kind of has his own story, like, oh, wanted people to know that gay people are brave. I think that's just like the kind of message that people are going for, and it's like, we just need to fight for that. People just need to know that, like, narrative shouldn't be that, like, gay people are only specifically good at this, bi people are only specifically good or stereotypically this, right? So I think it is kind of nice to have a manly man like Superman being bi, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, why can't we just get a couple new characters in there and, like, really develop out a good story and develop their, iconicness, right?
Their iconography, so, yeah.
Iconography, there you go. That's the word I was looking for.
Well, I think that it's tough with also characters like Superman, where Superman has always been with Lois Lane. You know what I mean? Like exactly. In the same case, it would be weird. Like Peter Parker has always been with MJ. Now, if you introduce new characters and things like that, when it's, like, it would make it where it's, like, Tony has always been with Brad. Awesome, you know what I mean? Because he's supposed to be with Brad. Like, that's just, I don't know. For me, it just feels like a very strange, like,
yes,
it feels forced. Yeah.
It feels forced, and it's unfortunate. I want more, just like the boys. Like, they are it is a weird and crazy show, but they just adapted in the way that they wanted to do it, and that's easily, you can incorporate anything. The same thing with Disney. Disney can do whatever the hell they want at this point. And so can Warner Brothers, and they could just make a new superhero, and it would just be fine. So yeah, that's why. But yeah, that's the answer.
Nice. And that is it.
That is the podcast.
That is all. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and listening to our ramblings and the story of Willem Arondus. If you enjoyed something we said or did this episode, please make sure you tune in next time. We try our best to have these out every Saturday, and make sure you can sign up on our Patreon to get these a little bit early if you want them out on Friday instead. If you want to find us outside of the podcast, Ryan, where can they go?
YouthPastorRyan.com. What about you, Dan?
You can find me at DanBadBam on all social media except for my business account, Snapchat, which is Dan_YOLOLoveBen.
You can find all of my links at benbrainard.com. It's spelled brain, like the one in your head, ARD.com. If you can't figure that out, try using yours. If you want, I had something else to say. Oh, next week we will be talking about culture. Dan will be teaching us some culture next week. I believe. What is it that you're teaching us?
I'm teaching you the plan of salvation.
The plan of salvation. And oh boy, am I ready to make some sacrilegious jokes.
We're all going to hell. Yay.
Anyway, you can find the podcast at gdfmpodcast.com. That has all of our links and descriptions and all of the stuff that you need to know about us. You can also email the podcast at podcast@gdfmpodcast.com. That's it. That's all. We'll see you next week. Bye.